I'm just as hopelessly addicted to alcohol as we were to drugs. We are grateful to the AA Fellowship for showing us the way to a new life. The 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous as adapted from AA are the basis of our recovery program. We've only grown their perspective. We follow the same path with a single exception. Our identification as addicts in an all-inclusive is all-inclusive in respect to any mood-changing, mind-altering substance. Alcoholism is too limited a term for us. Our problem is not a specific substance. It is a disease called addiction. We believe that as a fellowship, we have been guided by a greater consciousness and are grateful for the direction that has been enabled to us to build upon this already proven program of recovery.
Good evening again. My name is Lonnie. I'm a great recovering addict. At this time, I'd like to introduce our first speaker, Selena M. She's from the Central Maryland area.
Hi, family. My name is Selena and I'm an addict. I'd like to thank the committee for allowing me to share tonight. I'm very grateful and I'm very nervous. This is truly a miracle, you know. I got to share tonight because I came to Ocean City mad as hell at the programming committee because I was trying to get in touch with them for 3 months so I could secretary a meeting. Ain't nobody never called me back. So I said, when I get up there, the first thing I'm going to do, I ain't even going to register. I'm going to find that programming committee. I said, I'm going to let them know something wrong with y'all committee because ain't nobody called me back. So when I walked over there, I said, well, can an addict volunteer for something? Because ain't nobody trying to call nobody back. So she went on to say, Selena, you got the time, I need you to do a workshop. I'm like, what? You know, what about that? So I told her I'd do it. Later on that night, I ain't want to do it. I'm like, what did I get myself into? I was saying my gums were swollen. I called people on the phone. Y'all want to do a meeting for me. Like, I had the authority to do that anyway. So I had prayed about it. I said, if the girl don't call me back in the morning, you know, it was God's will for me to do the meeting. Apparently, I have something to say that someone needs to hear. And I'm very nervous. I came here back, I was doing drugs over 30-something years. I had good government jobs. But I like to buy Coke sodas and pour half of it out and put liquor in it and have it in my desk like I was at a cocktail hour. And that nobody could smell the liquor. And drop acid on the job, be high as hell. Every time you turn around, they want to send me home. But I never understood, you know, why they would send me home. I was just like, my supervisor jumped. She don't like me because I dress better than her. That's what my disease is telling me. Every time I got a job and every time I got a good government job, group all group share, I work for the court building. I want to walk up and down the street and smoke a joint while the lawyers and everybody ain't even care, you know. But I didn't really think nothing was wrong with that. But I was one of them type of addicts that I never wanted to learn how to roll nothing because I was That ain't look right for a lady to be rolling reefer in love bubble. So when I graduated the crack, I never knew how to flip the stems real good, so you know I was getting beaten. Never knew how to make the can or the ash bowls or nothing. Didn't even know how to clean this shit. I done messed up so much alcohol and so much residue trying. Because at the end I got desperate. I said, I'm going to learn how to do this shit. I'm tired of people taking my shit. I used to still mess it up. I'm tired of these people getting all that smoke. I said, I'm going to pay attention this time. So, I'm tired of them. Because I always had to wait on somebody, and then they give me them little stems and I ain't had work. So once I got over there, I was picking out that one. That one was working for my dumb mind. They know, yeah, it was working for you yesterday, but they done fucked that stuff up. You know, my addiction, it got so bad that the dope dealer just said, Selena, please lose my number. Don't call me. Because, see, part of my addiction, I had to get drunk before I get high. And I had to get drunk after I get high. Because I ain't want to look like y'all geeking looking out the windows and shit. I still want to talk shit by y'all looking out the windows and shit and say, why y'all doing that? Y'all know there ain't shit on that damn floor. I knew how not to look out the windows and look on the floors and put all that dumb shit in my pipe. And I smoked for a long time, and I only bought one pipe and had it for one day, just like I said. I was too good to be flipping shit, getting my hands dirty. Same addict, wore clothes for a week, two or three pair of pants. I mean. But wasn't that wrong with me? I did not think nothing was wrong with me. Running the streets all night and the snow be all the way up here and you got $7. How the hell are you gonna hit that shit with your hands frozen? With two matches. You done did all that damn walking in the snow. You got two freaking matches. It is ridiculous. When you look back over, this thing did some crazy stuff. And it seemed like every time I use on Friday nights, this one guy used to walk me to treatment every Saturday morning. And I said, I'm going in this time. I'm tired of smoking this stuff. I don't know how many times he'd be smoking with me. He said, come on. I said, after this hit, I'm going. I'm going right up to D.C. General. And he used to walk me every week like a damn fool. So I thought I was wrong with him, too. Because I was tired. I had nowhere to go. But I had a place to go. But I was ashamed to go. I didn't want to go around there. I was weighing like 96 pounds. But I still didn't think nothing was wrong with me. So when I moved to Maryland, I had a, first time I have a son, he'd be 22 this year, and I choose not to, my disease told me I couldn't take care of his grandmother. Took care of him because I ain't had time to work, I ain't had time to take in no baby. That was the happiest day of my life when she took that baby. I can go on birthdays and Christmas. That was fine. I didn't want to be responsible. And then when I moved to Maryland and had another child, damn near 40, the hell she got from. I ain't had time to go get on welfare because that was messing up. I had to use every day, and I take too much damn time to be listening to them people. And you gotta have birth certificates and shit. I know I ain't had none that shit. But after I finished getting put out of everybody's house, I went to my God's sister's house, and you gotta give her some money. And the only reason why she let me in because of the child. So I went to apply for welfare. And in Maryland, if you use drugs or drink alcohol, you gotta go to an outpatient facility to get help in order to get your check. And I gave them people holy hell. And so I went to that place, but I didn't never go to no meeting. So they said, they gonna fix me. They sent me in the inpatient and they cut my check off and tell them I'm in the inpatient. But by the time I went to inpatient, I had did all the tricking and craziness. At the end, I was settled. I was in the house by 9:30 or whatever. Latest I go out, sneak out was 11:30. You know, I done did all the running all night. I done did, still got the uniform on for 3 days straight the whole weekend. With your uniform on, filthy, dirty. I did all the craziness, so I didn't think nothing was wrong with me at this time. But they sent me in there and I surrendered. When I came out, they told me they was taking me to meetings. I said, oh, I was missing this stuff. And you know, they bring the people to the facility and stuff. And I started getting on the front row and I started listening. And next thing you know, I heard something and I wanted to get better. So I started looking better in the facility because when I went in there, it was April. It was hot as hell outside. I had a big old suede coat on with fur in the inside that you could wrap around me 3 times. And the other addicts was in there talking about, we feel sorry for you. Because I used to sit in the group with my coat on wrapped around me 3 times in the groups. And they put me right on the floor when I got there. And I thought, you know, because I drunk so much, I just wanted to stop shaking so I could hit the rock better. I ain't want to stop, you know, smoking. And I definitely didn't want to stop drinking, but I just wanted to stop. My hands were shaking, because that was, I love liquor. My throat was burning, and I was throwing up all the stuff that would burn my throat. And my bright idea, I drink another 40 and it'll stop burning. And my process started all over again. So when I got out, they told me I had to do 30 meetings in 30 days, and that's what I did. And my process began, and that was the best time of my life, was because I was like, why are people so damn happy? Did they smoke for that smoke? And then, you know, the old timers, they would buy me books and stuff and say, don't use no matter what, and I was on a roll. I was loving it. But I didn't know that change you must or die you will. I took my same behavior out in the streets into the rooms with me. But I was still coming to meetings and I still had a sponsor and I still was doing step work. And I was in here talking about women, females do pay for child support and, you know, you do what you do, you get what you get. And I was like, that shit don't apply to me, you know. And they was telling me you had to get honest. You know, because I was happy my first 2 or 3 years. I was doing what I was wanting to do, and, you know, I was feeling good to be clean and stuff until. I wanted a double life. I had a family right here, no relationship right here. The other relationship became my crack. You living, that's a lot of freaking work. And you trying to do step work and you got all this shit going on and you trying to raise a child, right?
And the disease is telling you this is what you need. I'm talking about being caught up in the grips clean. By the time I had 5 years, y'all, it looked like I had 5 days. 5 days. My hair was always fixed, though, but that was it. My skin was dark. I had lost weight because my spirit was gone. I was dead again. They talk about the topic is a breath of life. I cried to my sponsor. No, I was pretty much sponsoring myself up until that 5 years. But the sponsors kept on leaving me. So I wanted them to leave me because I was so ashamed of what I was doing, you know. I was hiding from the people in NA. I was coming to these conventions, hiding from my friends because I understood what y'all was saying in the rooms, but I wasn't ready to stop. Don't you know how you want to stop? Just like smoking drugs. You want to stop. You don't want to keep on doing it, but you couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. So with 5 years clean, I didn't even celebrate until that October. I told you my anniversary was in April. So what happened was I had a desire to stop. And I cried to my sponsor. I said, how long does this take? She's talking about, you're going to have to journal about it, pray about it. Why do I want to do that? I said, I need some relief now. I don't know what to do, you know. And she told me, I just didn't get in that situation overnight. It takes time. So with 5 years clean, I had a desire to stop living the way I did. And then that desire, 4 years after that, every year I get better. I get better. Pain got lesser. My spirit stopped coming back. Because I was doing it, I was even going to church and Bible study. With this life. You know, I was doing it all. I was an everyday woman. I mean, praising the Lord, going to church, and coming to the NA meetings, and doing service work at the committee, and service work in the area. I still living a double life. But today, the God I serve, that's my higher power. He did something that I couldn't do for myself. He removed that from me. And change really doesn't feel good, but I know it's good for me. And yet, everybody can't go where I'm going. So that's what I understand today, and I'm so much better. But like I said, change don't always feel good. But I was praying, you know, God, I can't live like this. You know, I have to do something different. So continue on doing my step work, talking to my sponsor and my network. Yeah, I was doing all that too. Had monthly meetings with the sisters. All that. But it took time. It took 4 years. Up until the end of last year. For, you know, me to really understand what was going on with me, to get to the exact nature of of the problem. So I just thank God for my process, you know, and my time up. 10 more minutes. Wow. Yeah. Oh. Okay, I got something to talk. Like I said, I have a 21-year-old son. He's going on 22 in July. And like I said, I didn't raise him. His grandmother did and his dad. I was truly blessed because I have 2 children and 2 baby fathers, and they both take care of their children. You know, I'm the one I had to pay child support. Let me just say this in a second. Like I said, Department of Social Services, they the one that sent me to the inpatient and took my check. And I told you I act like a fool. So I told you I ain't working 37 years. So they, when I got out of outpatient treatment, they said, you gotta go find a job. I said, how the hell am I gonna do that? When I was working, they ain't had no computers or nothing. They ain't even had no fancy phones or anything. I said, I don't know how to do nothing. They said, well, they gonna put you in a place where they can change you. I said, oh, that sounds like a good idea, because I was willing to learn. So I was volunteering. No, they made you go. But no volunteering. That was part of you getting your welfare check at the Department of Social Services. And then they hired me. And then they took me around the whole building and said, this is Ms. Melvin. Y'all done, what? Is that loud girl? I ain't had no teeth in my mouth or nothing. I had a ponytail, but it was short right here. In the back. I was a hot mess. Them people say, oh, I remember her. God is good. And so when I went for my interview, I told you I ain't working 20, 30 something years. He said, what you been doing, Ms. Melvin? I'm like, huh? I'm like, to myself, all this stuff worked together. The drug treatment program and DSS, you should know what I do. Why is he asking me? I'm like, is this some kind of joke? I said, I could tell you what I used to do. And I got the job, so that was God. It took me in there. So, but then I worked there 4 years. Contract ran out. So I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? Because I thought I was something. I'm like, God bless me with a job. He took it away from me. But I didn't use. I didn't use because I truly believe, you know, something else. I supposed to be doing something else. Mm-hmm. And since I lost my job, I was able to buy me $2,000 worth of teeth in cash with no insurance. When I was working, I couldn't do that. I don't know where the money went at, but I couldn't buy me no teeth. I don't want for nothing. I just told the condo man I want this condo. I don't work. Don't get no unemployment. I don't know if they're going to give me that. I said, but my man been working over 20 years. I said, I'll tell you what. I'll meet you Saturday and give you the deposit for my condo. I ain't never given a chance. I said, you ain't no point in you checking my credit because it ain't too good. No. And we moved in on March the 1st. That was all God. You got to get out your own way. My name's Selena. I hope I help someone tonight. Thank you.